Rangers Rambles.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Furry Raiders podcast. I'm your temporary host at the moment, the Candy Corn Doggo. And here we have Genesius Wolf returning.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
All right.
Y'all having a good day?
All right. Awesome. And, of course, we have Sparky.
Hello.
Wow. So some really interesting things happened this week that we're going to talk about. Some good, some interesting, and just some downright ridiculous. Let's just talk about, well, first, some interesting news. Well, personally, I find it interesting. The Mars lander has landed on Mars. Shocker, right?
Yeah, like, I thought I was going to Moon the whole time for some reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, they call it InSight. So, InSight has gone to Mars and landed in the most boring part of the planet for good reason, because it shall be exploring the, well, it's going to be putting seismometers on the planet's surface to kind of, like, measure what's going on inside.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, geological activity and stuff.
So, like, what are they going to do with that information? Because, I mean, that, as like, I've looked into it a little bit, and it's really cool. But, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, is this going to be the first information that they're going to start using to, like, begin terraforming Mars or something like that? Because that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, my, that's a good, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but terraforming Mars is going to be nearly impossible since there's no magnetosphere.
Well, actually, I remember going to this exhibit at the Natural History Museum in New York City, and they had this whole like demonstration on how they were going to get over that. Like, it was a combination of really just heating up the planet. Like, if you could just heat it up, it would really kind of take care of itself.
Wow. That's what they're looking for, too. Like, they're looking to see what's going on in the core. Because, like, we really don't know precisely. All the volcanoes have kind of stopped on Mars. But maybe something's going on deep within. So this probe is hopefully gonna tell us that. Or they could find aliens living in the caves, you know. You never know.
Oh, that'd be so cool if they did. Like, it was like, I knew it. I knew they were real.
That's actually like a theory that people have online. They're like, oh, all the Martians are underground in caves. I think even Keenan and Cal did an episode of that, like where they went to Mars and all the aliens were underground or something like that.
Was that one called Life, that one movie where they find this one tiny alien, but it gets bigger and bigger and it starts killing everybody on the space station?
I don't think that was about Mars. But that was a really cool movie.
Yeah, I haven't heard it in a while.
It was about Mars still.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen the whole movie.
They took an alien off of Mars and it started killing everybody, and they find out that's the reason why the planet died.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, I remember that movie. It was pretty freaky.
Oh my. Well, hopefully we don't discover anything like that there. That would be kind of creepy. I mean, it'd be kind of cool too.
I remember seeing these really old artist depictions of what aliens would be like just based on the science of the 1930s, and their like depiction of an alien from Mars was really weird.
Oh yeah, and H.G. Wells also depicted Martians like coming down from space and invading in War of the Worlds.
Yeah. Like, do you ever see that movie Attack from Mars?
Oh, you mean Mars Attacks with the brains?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
the ones where the heads blow up and you play like weird music.
Yeah, the yodeling.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so funny.
Well, I did live in Peoria and I did see some weird things in the sky, but I guess it's just the earth being weird as usual.
I don't know. I mean, that's why we're out there exploring, you know? You never,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, two dots. It looks like a star that's kind of like blinking, but it just kind of spins around each other. But then he starts slowing down and go completely still.
That's just swamp gas.
There was one time where, like, I was in Jacksonville, Arkansas, and I forgot that the Air Force base was really close by, and I saw this weird beam of light going through the sky. I'm like, "Oh, whoa, aliens!" And my friend's like, "No, dude, it's the Air Force base." I'm like, "Oh yeah."
The Air Force does some pretty shifty stuff, though.
Oh yeah, with Area 51. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, all kinds of experimental aircrafts and crazy stuff. And now, I mean, let's think about Trump's Space Force. I mean,
Space Force.
is he thinking that we're under attack from aliens? I mean, maybe. Maybe they know something and we don't.
Listen, I mean, look, he's a part of the Illuminati. You have no idea.
Well, I believe that we ain't alone in the universe. There's got to be something out there.
Oh, of course, of course. I mean, yeah, it's way too big. And actually, Genesius, this was a question I wanted to ask another member of the Raiders, who has a religious stream. But when it comes to this famous quote, "I have sheep and other pastures," what does that really mean, like, to you? I mean, does that mean that God does have life on other worlds, or like what is that supposed to be?
I think that really just means that no matter what group you look at, no matter how different they are, there will be people who will have a spiritual conviction of God to do God's work, i.e., to do good or to spread truth. I don't think he meant something like off the planet. I think he just meant something, around the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I mean, that quote, as you probably know, has been used by other people to use the Bible to justify the existence of aliens. But it makes more sense
Yeah.
that it's actually about other groups of people.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, though, if we're gonna get like more in that area, so Ken Ham, who's like the, I think he's like the CEO or the head curator for the Creation Museum,
I know
he
him.
released a statement where he said that we should give up the search for extraterrestrial life or for alien life whatsoever. Because they're all going to hell anyway, because they don't know God.
He also
But you know
thinks.
what? But wait, but hold on though. Like
Oh.
what Pope Francis said in return, because Pope Francis heard that Ken Ham said that. He said that that's BS, that we should look for aliens and spend time and money to find aliens because we should spread the word of God to aliens.
Oh, wait, that took a turn. So the Pope, if we do find aliens, we should spread the word of God to the aliens.
Yeah.
Huh. I
Heard him.
mean, okay.
Yeah,
If
but
we can talk to them.
there was one there was when Stephen Hawking before he died, he said something about transmitting signals, which is he's like that could be something dangerous. Like you transmit the signal out to space and hits the wrong planet, you get a being that's twice as advanced than us and it will end up wiping us out like bugs.
That could happen. But that's what happens, like with exploration. You know, right now, thankfully, we're just like the most recent Mars lander. You know, it's just about looking at the planet's geology. It's not trying to encounter aliens. But we do have SETI, and we did send out signals in an attempt to talk to extraterrestrial civilizations. And you're right. You know, Stephen Hawking, like if. Like he does believe that's very dangerous, and honestly, he's not wrong. Like, if aliens found Earth, What do you think would happen?
It could be a repeat of like when the Europeans came into the New World. It's, you know, not whether intentional or not, the advancement as well as the disease and other factors, you know, wiped out the population. So it'd probably be the same way if they came here. They could bring some kind of disease. They could bring malice. You have no idea.
Oof.
Or they could be bring weapons and they'll turn into that real life version of Halo 3.
Be kind of crazy.
I mean, yeah. My idea is that they would view us as we view ants. Like they wouldn't even think that we're worth their time. Because if they can travel across star systems, I mean, why would they really care? Maybe they would suck the planet dry and just not even, like, you know, we would shoot bullets at them and it would just bounce off of their supremely advanced technology. Like it wouldn't even matter to them. I mean, think about what happened during Independence Day. You know, they had shields and they were around for millions of years and they suck planets dry like locusts and move on like nothing. Maybe that. Well, I don't know. Or they could be the Blue Avatar people, like Indians.
Or we'll just blow them up like they did in Independence Day with a nuke.
Yes, the nukes shall solve everything.
Spoiler alert to those who haven't seen Independence Day.
Okay, if you haven't seen Independence Day yet, then you live under a rock and you should stop living under a rock.
Yeah, I've seen the original, like the very first one.
Same. You got
the Prince, the fresh Prince of Bel-Air in it.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a new one made. I forgot about that. Or was there?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but it looks completely off-the-wall bonkers. Like, the alien ship is, like, the size of the moon, and it lands on planet Earth. It's literally, like, the size of the moon, like or bigger. It's just so ridiculous. Like, I don't even know.
When I was little, when I watched that movie, even though it was from the early 2000s, maybe like the late 90s, I can't remember. The original, the first one.
Yeah.
I was little. I kind of look at the spaceship and I was like, it kind of reminds me of like the top patty, the bun and the bottom buns of the burgers. That was just me back in the day. Because that's the way it looked, because it had a round top and the bottom was flat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what they look like. But, like, also in all kinds of alien movies, they always look like UFOs, like your stereotypical flying disc. All right, guys. Sparky and or Genesius, would you guys like to read some comments from the live stream, if there are any, or any questions anyone has?
Let me see if I can see him first off. I don't know if I can see him from my end.
Okay. Sparky, can you see the live stream? Because I can't either because I'm on mobile. I'm going to have to go back and then like re-sign in to do so.
I'm going to get on there and just look at it.
Okay.
Maybe you can read questions off and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, just for a second till we get to the next topic.
Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That was good. Super nice. It wasn't anything special. You know, I just went to my family's house. We had a nice dinner. Being Russian and Italian, my Italian side of the family, like my dad, he made lasagna and turkey, which was pretty good.
Oh, wow. That sounds...
Yes.
See, like they used to make homemade pie during Thanksgiving, like homemade pecan pie, but they've gotten old and they just like they said they made it homemade, but we knew immediately when they brought it in, it was Cracker Barrel, but it was still pretty darn tasty.
They tried. They tried their best.
Yeah, but Cracker Barrel pie is still really good though.
Someone in the chat said we need a Space Force to fight illegal aliens.
Oh, shit.
That's why we got the Space Force. The Space Force will do that. Fight them on the border and in the skies, of course.
So that way they, because what if the what if they get the rocket, then they go into space, and that's how they get into America, is through space instead of across the border. We need a Space Force.
Hell yeah, Mark.
Hell yeah, Mark.
Oh my God.
Someone else said, is Foxley here? And like, yeah, he's here, but he's probably over there with Cody giving him a happy birthday because it's his birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay. yeah, technically Foxler is here. He's the one that set up the Hangouts link and stuff to make this all possible. So yes, thank you, Foxler Senpai. And it's also Cody's birthday, which, yay.
Yeah, there again, if Foxler might be tired, he might be taking a break.
Yeah, yeah. He's had a long day. It's been quite busy. All right, I'm going to...
There's also another topic we need to start talking on. It's the dead cartoonist.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Creator of SpongeBob. All right. Yeah, Steven Hillenburg passed.
All right. So
when I first Steven saw Hillenburg that, passed. I, like, gasped out loud. I was really saddened by that.
Yeah, he was only 57, too.
Yeah, it was ALS. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, ALS is a debilitating and fatal disease where if you're diagnosed, you have only about a few years left to live. It's not an autoimmune disease. It's a motor neuron disease. It essentially paralyzes you slowly over the course of time.
It's what Stephen Hawking had. It's also what it's also known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Now, Stefan Hellenberg. Now he only was diagnosed with this about a year ago. And he just passed away a few days ago, so it's only been about a year. But this guy, he has done so much. Now, not just SpongeBob, but I mean, think about like what SpongeBob has really done for culture. All the memes.
Well, not even just the memes, but like you have cartoons that go in history as being like definitively groundbreaking for how original and funny and artistic and just amazing they are, like Tom and Jerry, Looney Tunes, you know, Hanna-Barbera, but the most modern example is hands down SpongeBob. Like if it were not for SpongeBob, Nickelodeon wouldn't even be existent. Like their entire profit margins from SpongeBob. SpongeBob is shown all over the world. Everybody knows it. It's huge. Yeah.
Hmm.
And what do you think?
I don't know. I haven't heard about the creator before, but I was just looking at the TV shows, and I didn't think about the creator that much.
Yeah, you know, Steven Hillenburg. It's interesting, like. He wanted to end SpongeBob after the first movie, which was at the end of the third season. Like he was done with it. He thought that it had run its course. It was funny and it was good. You know, it didn't need to go any further than that. But then Nickelodeon stepped in and was like, no. Like this is our cash cow. We're not ending SpongeBob. And Steve Hillenburg is just like, well, I'm gonna leave. And then he left. In fact, most of the people involved with SpongeBob over its, you know, a little over 10-year history, you know, left within the first season. Because after season 3, it just went really downhill and it wasn't as funny anymore. But Steve Hillenburg, I think he came back like 2 years ago for a season or two. Then he left again after he heard about ALS. But yeah, like you can tell Steve Hillenburg writes a certain episode because that episode is really, really, really funny. Like it just has a different vibe to it, a different style. It's, you know, the writing is different. It's funnier. It's better paced. It's like you can tell it's his work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean that was the first 3 seasons or so was when he worked on it. And then after he left, it went kind of like you said, completely downhill, and it just, oh my god. But then when he came back for the last year, like, it picked up again, and like,
I know.
You can tell he had that passion. Really cool.
I don't know. I didn't know very much about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really watch SpongeBob anymore. Of course, I do refer back to like the first like three or four seasons, like before the movie, when it was completely classic. Like, you had all the best things, like chocolate and
chocolate.
Yeah, the swearing episode, Sailor Mouth.
Yes, of course. Yeah, with the dolphin sound. I mean, everything.
Yeah. But the hands down best episode, though, like, that's above all of them because it is so unbelievably funny and true, is the Krusty Krab training video.
All that hoopla.
Yeah, like, they nailed it. Like, when I used to work for Sprint as a customer service, I did 2 weeks of training, and every day during the 2 weeks we would watch those damn training videos, and they were just like that. And I went back after doing that job and rewatched that episode of SpongeBob, and I almost puked. I was laughing so hard.
Wow. And like who would have thought too? Like, back in the day, SpongeBob aired in December of 1999, so like just at the end of the 90s. And who would have thought how it would get so big? It's still going.
It's just like, it's one of those shows where when it first came out, it was written for adults and children. And it had such a happy median between the two that you could be of any age and enjoy it. That's why a lot of the people who are older and like SpongeBob really only like the first three seasons. Because after season three, it's just for kids and it's just not funny anymore.
Yeah. And then they really embraced all the, like, all the trends and just all the dumb jokes, and it lost its way. Kind of like Fairly Odd Parents, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, Fairly Odd Parents, they were funny for, like, I think the first four or five seasons, but they just kind of went downhill from there. And then when they added Poof, the baby, it went really downhill. I quit watching it after that. I'm like, this is just, it's a bunch of high energy, really cheesy jokes, and I'm just not into it.
You could say it's a bunch of hoopla.
Sounds like a lot of hoopla. Sounds like a lot of hoopla of a crab patty, right? Wrong. God, don't even get me started. I will repeat the whole episode to myself, just to make myself.
Actually, Butch Hartman, the creator of the Fairly Odd Parents, recently made a video about Stefan Hellenberg and his passing, and how he worked with him, and that he appreciates how big SpongeBob became.
It's in my suggestions. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but I really want to.
Man, it's sad. I mean, like, it's respectful, but, you know, it's
sad though. Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
Man, like, just, that's crazy though. That'd be like if Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, died. It'd be like, oh my god.
Don't jinx it. You know, we have a lot of good people in the past couple weeks.
We have, who all have we lost this year? Quite a few, actually. Pretty well-known people.
I mean, Stan Lee, for one.
Yeah, Stan Lee, that was here really recent.
Yeah, and then same day, Fred Patton, who was a big contributor to the development of the entire furry fandom.
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't really, you know, read up on that, but I heard about that. Yeah, and there's someone else recently too, very very well known. Oh gosh, I don't remember? Oh, we lost Aretha Franklin a while back. That was really sad. I like Motown a lot. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't particularly know what that is.
Motown?
Yeah, is that like a show or a game?
Oh, Motown's a genre. You know, like the Supremes and Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin, you know, like really soulful music. It was kind of the precursor to disco a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was named Motown because of the name Motor City, which was the nickname for Detroit, which is where most of the music came from. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So back to Stefan Hellenberg. Like I said before, he died at the age of 57 from a disease called ALS.
Right.
This for those of you also who don't know, ALS is the same disease that people are trying to fundraise for with the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
Yeah,
back in,
which
yeah,
yeah,
2014.
but
Yep, that's what it's for. It's for
yeah,
music.
but yeah, but furries did a fundraising walk as well.
Well, that is our next topic, good sir. Which actually just happened 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, very recently. But we'll get into that in a second before we read some more live comments and questions from the audience. Unless you guys have any other thoughts on Mr. Stefan, may he rest in peace.
I'm glad he was here as long as he was, because he changed the entertainment industry forever.
I see. All right, Sparky, any news from our live chat?
Someone asked about anybody survives Alaska earthquake, but I don't know that one where that was.
Oh,
Oh, I read
that
about
happened
that before he called.
today.
Yeah.
That happened just today.
I haven't heard any reports of anybody like being dead or anything. I just heard it was just a lot of damage.
Yeah, literally, like just a few hours ago, like before the stream started, I heard about this. It was 7 miles north of Anchorage, so it was a 7.0 magnitude earthquake that happened, rocked the whole city. Thankfully, there's no reports of death or damage. Well, there is damage, but no death or injuries, as far as I know. But it's still early.
Yeah, like it was like what was it, 6 hours ago? It was really recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was a big one too. And now there's a tsunami warning.
Which that I am more worried about than anything, because the tsunami is always way fucking worse than the earthquake.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's okay. That's extremely dangerous. Could affect all the coastal towns and cities. I don't know if there's actually a tsunami, but there has definitely been a government warning about that immediately after the earthquake had happened. So it could take some time to progress, or maybe it may have just blown over and not happened, hopefully.
Same. I hope it hasn't either.
Right, any other questions or comments we have?
Anubis Sin said it's my 22nd birthday today as well.
Oh, no way! Nice. Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. Hope you enjoy being 22.
Nice. That is pretty awesome. Yeah, you should have said something earlier. Maybe I would have sent you a little bouquet of flowers and chocolates.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, so I guess we can move on to our next topic, which does have to do with the same disease, ALS, that Stefan Hellenberg has fallen victim to. It's actually, well, Sparky, you mentioned this before. It was hosted by furries, this whole
Yes,
charity event.
it's an ALS walk fundraiser by hosted by furries.
Yeah, and the unfortunate, I guess, well, I'm not really sure how to say this, but it is unfortunate, but also very humbling to know that the person who did start this, by the name of Dog Bomb, who's a fursuiter, himself is also diagnosed with ALS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, well, diagnosed or not, I'm glad he so he was the curator for this. He got this put together.
Yeah.
So, how many people ended up showing up in support?
The amount of people, I don't have the numbers on that. However, they did raise over $34,000,
Wow,
for
that is amazing.
it. Yeah. And if you saw the videos, oh yeah, damn, I should have asked you to screen share this, Sparky. But there
Screen.
is a video about, well, there's a couple of videos about this. So basically what happened was, this was a walk like near a beach, and like a bunch of people showed up. A lot of them were fursuiters. I mean, there has to be over 100 fursuiters there.
Hey, I don't know if you guys can hear this. I don't mean to break from the conversation, but so right now, I'm in Central Arkansas, and we had a huge like pressure change in the last day. Like today, it was like 70 degrees, even though the last 2 weeks it's been in like the 30s and the 40s. Like it really spiked today, and we're supposed to have a huge rainstorm for the next day and a half.
Oh, wow.
So and the windows are open in the apartment I'm in right now, just because we're trying to air the apartment out. It was a little stuffy, and like the rain's just really loud. So if you can't hear me, let me know.
No, you sound totally fine.
Sweet. So the ALS walk, where was it hosted again?
I can't remember. So I just get amnesia sometimes.
It happens.
Whatever they call it, you just forget something automatically.
Right,
Like an
right.
hour.
That would have been nice to know. Where was it hosted? I don't actually recall, but it was, I believe it was somewhere where it was warm because everyone
Oh,
was out.
yeah. It says November 10th, hundreds of people joined the walk to defeat ALS among nearly 100 furries and fursuiters supporters walked to make an impact and diagnosed with ALS within the community. Together, we walked for a team of Team Toonie and helped raise awareness over the $34,000 towards putting an end to ALS once and for all.
You know, there actually might be a cure for ALS here really soon.
Really?
Yeah, so there's this gene editing tool called CRISPR, CRISPR, and it basically it without making it too complicated, it changes your DNA, and then as your cells metastasize, that changed DNA occurs throughout your body. And then within 5 weeks, your body can make a complete, change. And what I mean by that is, like say somebody has cystic fibrosis, which is, when you have really hard mucus in your lungs and you don't get enough oxygen. It usually kills people by age 40. Well, there's a current company called CRISPR Therapeutics who already is in the development for a cure for it, because they're manipulating the protein to go in and change that section of the DNA. So that way, over a few weeks, the body would heal itself completely.
Well, that
Yeah.
seems that could cure any condition. I mean, if you're
Exactly.
literally
That like
manipulating
this
DNA.
th this is going to win a Nobel Prize next year. Like it's already guaranteed. CRISPR Therapeutics currently has a working, and they're going to mass distribute it here really soon. They currently have a cure for sickle cell anemia, as well as a couple of genetic eye disorders that usually cause kids to be blind. They have that too. And then Editas, which is another CRISPR company, they have successfully used CRISPR to cure muscular dystrophy.
Wow.
I
That's
know.
incredible.
I know, exactly. Like this can cure everything from cancer to ALS to Down syndrome to, well not well maybe Down syndrome, maybe permanent disabilities that usually people would have their whole life could be cured within a few weeks.
Wow. And this is
Like,
exactly why we need funding for these kind of things. Like, we
yeah,
have to
like
get these
I'm doing
projects
an
out there.
oral presentation on this in my communications course actually this Monday. And but you know what's even crazier? This is more towards science fiction, but honestly, here in a few years, it could be a reality. Now, mind you, every living thing on Earth shares the same kind of building structure. In other words, everything is made of DNA. Now, even though the code for every single living being is different, it's they still are all made of the same thing. They're still made of DNA. What you could technically do is manipulate your DNA to the point where you could be a real-life anthro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. Like, if we developed CRISPR enough and pumped enough money and time and energy into it, you could become your persona.
Huh.
I'm not like I sound kind of crazy, but I'm being serious. This is a real thing. Like, I personally wouldn't do it. I'm happy with my body, and it's also for religious reasons. But like, if you wanted to do that here in maybe 20, 25 years, you could.
I don't know. Like, if that were possible, because like my question is like, how can it change what you already are currently? Like, if this was being put into fetuses and then they grow into that, that would make more sense. But like, how do you?
Because your cells metastasize. In other words, they divide and die and divide. So you would have to have multiple sessions of this therapy, because they would have to do it to every part of your body, or to every different cell, or sorry, to every different cell type. Like, for cystic fibrosis, it would just be lung cells or nervous cells or whatever. But like, for an anthro, it would have to be every different kind of cell in your body. And it'd have to be very specially made. So like I said, you know, this is very complicated. Like, it would take a while to develop this, but in theory, you could.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about, like, manipulating genetic structures in DNA and completely recoding it, I suppose you can really create any kind of life form.
Pretty much, like, yeah, so even if you wanted to be a dragon, like, you'd take DNA from, like, a crocodile or a lizard or, you know, other different kinds of species, and then you'd kind of graft a dragon form out of that. With a wolf, you just take a wolf DNA, and then you kind of mix it around until you get what you want. Now, if you wanted to be like a really buff, like, wolf daddy, then you would probably have to like get DNA from like a strongman or a bodybuilder, and then DNA from a wolf, and then combine it with yours, and you'd get that. But that'd be gay.
I mean, I kind of want to be a dragon though. That would be cool.
Like, even though I realistically wouldn't do it, and this technology might not even come around until after we're long dead, but even if it were possible, like, I would think about it. I'm not gonna lie, being a dragon would be pretty damn tight.
Oh, speaking of dragons, this event that happened, the ALS walk, actually occurred a couple days after Cothrix had left the fandom.
Yeah. It really made me sad when I heard that. Like, I don't blame him at all, but I'm still sad.
Yeah. It really made me sad when Dojo Jingo left the Frey fandom.
Yeah.
You know, like, I so don't blame them. This fandom is full of degenerates. It really is.
It is, and that's, well, I suppose you could say that. But Cothrix really hit it home when he's like, yeah, this fandom is completely terrible, and it's all, you know, this and that.
You know, everyone's trying to fuck you, and it's all about sex, and, you know, people spread drama, they lie about each other, and they lie about it, just, like... Yeah.
But then that, you see things like this happen. The
I know, exactly. Like, there are things like the ALS walk, they give us hope, and you're just like, oh my god, a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, like, is it really that bad when someone in this fandom who has this condition has raised over $34,000 to help other people? Like, is that really bad? Like, that's what we do.
See, but that's the thing, is that kind of behavior is not prevalent enough. That's what Cothrix is getting at. Like, this needs to be what happens more often than the shit that is happening.
Hmm.
That's really what he's getting at. Like it's good that they did this block, and thank God that they did. And I hope that they get to do more. But the thing is that's just it right there. We need to do more. We need to do more good. We need to steer people away from this, you know, deviancy that we see.
Yeah, and I guess getting on that topic, we don't. For those of you who are not aware, that Wolf was actually arrested in Cuba. He's one of the guys who was in the zoo crew.
Wait, who was arrested?
A guy by the name of Wolf. He has some Spanish name that I cannot pronounce. But basically, he was one of the guys who raped a dead puppy. I really don't like saying these words. It's
me neither.
I don't either, but it's like, but you gotta tell the truth. Yeah, let people know.
Well, he was actually caught and arrested in Cuba just a few days ago. I believe.
Yeah, I don't like saying it either because it's gross.
Yeah, it's messed up. But thankfully, these people who do engage in these degenerate, horrendous activities are being prosecuted for their crimes against animals and children. And we can only
wait. Children, what? Did they do that too?
Yeah, Snake Thing did.
Jesus Christ. Okay, you know, like...
this is a whole different can of worms, man.
I totally get the gas bomb at MFF now. I totally understand.
Yeah. Well, this was that was a couple of years before.
That was 2014. That was a while ago. But, like, if that happened now, I'd be like, oh, that's still wrong, but I get it.
Yeah. One of the guys in that group, you know, with Kiro and Wolf and the other guy, his name is Snake Thing. He was also arrested, but he was let go because they're going to put more charges on him later. Basically, he groomed children, like his younger nephew, to like do sexual things with him. It was a whole mess. So thankfully,
I guess we're going to have to look at the comments now. The comments.
In a minute, yeah.
Okay, like that made me so sad about Kiro, because I like Kiro a lot. He was the only Popufer who stood by my side during all that bullshit that happened with me with the joke comic I made with me and Fox, or the one that like Majira and Rika and everybody turned on me for. Kiro was the only one who like took my side and stood by me. Him and Kothrix and like Dojo.
Whoa, like, I stood by your side.
Although, I mean, like really, 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 really popular, like no, super popular.
I'm kidding. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, but Kiro was like the only mega Popufer who like took my side.
Yeah,
and and we became really close after that. And I thought he was such a nice guy, and to hear all this stuff just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Why? Why are you acting on these feel like I get weird gross shit feelings too. I have like I get weird fetishist feelings, you know, in my brain, but I don't fucking act on them. I never do. I don't even think about all of them. All of them I just dismiss. But like how could you make how could you say I'm going to give up my moral code and just do what I want because it feels good? Like that, like, like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know. And that's exactly why Carthorix made that video, you know, because people like that do exist. But it was, like I said, very refreshing. What you said was very refreshing, that, you know, events like this do occur where some people in our fandom do step up and try to help other people. But there's bad people everywhere, man.
I know, but people in the fandom are not doing enough to stop ours. Like, at least people in other fan bases, like, try. But, like, furries are just like, don't kink shame, don't judge, man. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, really. Kink shaming is good sometimes, especially if your kink is like...
Kink shaming is needed a lot of times.
All
it's
right.
Like, I'm into Cubby if it's like, well, you should be ashamed of that.
Yeah,
you're
right?
Kind of a shitty person.
All right, let's get to some live comments.
Okay.
Sparky, what do we got?
Someone said, can we cure Asperger's? And my thought was like, no, because I got Asperger's myself.
Well, technically, if since Asperger's is hereditary, then yes. If CRISPR works, then yes, it could.
Well, some of my friends have Asperger's. Depends on the level of severity, but they tend to do pretty well. I wouldn't consider being like having Asperger's a bad thing. Like it doesn't make you a bad person. Like, oh, if Kuro had Asperger's, such and such. No, that's I wouldn't equate that.
Right.
All right. Anything else?
People are like saying stuff like, "Yay, I can become this now because of that genetic mutation stuff."
Oh, the CRISPR, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, it could be real technology. You just gotta be aware of it. Go online, research CRISPR, see how it works. The more that we as a public are informed, the more that people will invest in it. Like, make this our future. Hey, we could use it to cure all the degeneracy in our fandom. We'll forcefully capture people and then put healthy DNA into their brains so they don't think like degenerate sexual deviant cunts.
Or they
Oh.
act like or they begin acting like little elementary school kids like they always do.
Yeah, or put some fly DNA in them. That way they'll turn to flies. So that way we don't have to look at them or notice them.
You know, there was a movie about a guy that turned into a fly once. It
That was
didn't really
Jeff Goldblum, The Fly.
Yeah, it didn't really end well for him.
No, it did not.
Oh my God.
What was that thing? Did he actually get shot in the head by his girlfriend or something? I can't remember.
I honestly didn't see the whole movie. I need to rewatch it. He
Spoiler,
actually
yeah,
transformed
he,
right in front of his girlfriend.
yes, like I said, spoiler alert, he died. He was shot because he wanted to die because he was a monster.
Right.
There's another movie that's bad. I doubt anybody remembers this. It's Stephen King's Lawnmower Man.
Huh.
No.
It's an old movie from 1992. That's how old it is.
Alrighty.
But it's basically about a guy that goes into virtual reality. It's actually got a 5.7 on IMDb.
Really?
So
Alrighty.
it's about one guy who's just an ordinary lawnmower man that helps gets money just to mow people's lawns. He decides to put himself in a virtual reality simulation.
All right.
That's crazy.
Kind of creepy.
But he gets trapped in the simulation. He tries to get a way out.
Well, perhaps we should move on to the next topic then. I don't want to think about being trapped in a lawnmower.
It's not a lawnmower, it's more like a virtual reality.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
creepy.
But I
All
saw
right,
some
so.
scenes on it. I hadn't watched the full movie. I saw some scenes on it, and those are really weird because it's more like old, early CGI from back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Creepy.
Cool.
Early CGI.
Yeah.
Well, the next topic today is something really unusual that's been going on, and The Lord of the Rings has been shamed for being racist against orcs. This
By
is.
who?
Oh, who do you think? By the SJWs and people on Twitter and Tumblr.
Is that really a thing? Because if it is, like, that's either really funny or seriously stupid.
It's both. And that's why this is. Okay, so this article.
Orcs isn't even a living species.
Exactly. Oh, and
It's a fictional creature.
here's like the funniest thing though. The people who say this are like, well, orcs are depicted as, you know, as black people. And I'm thinking to myself, well, gee, if you think that a monstrous creature is a depiction of a black person, then who's really the racist here? Is it
How?
Tolkien?
How is that
Who's
even
really the racist? Oh yeah, the people
somewhat?
saying that it's racist.
Yeah. So there's been quite a debate about this going on. And the response has been from sane people who can actually make memes. There's now a new trend of memes going on about like pro orc lives. And it's supposed to like mock the whole
orc lives thing. Matter, guys.
Yeah, orc lives matter, guys. It's amazing. Like SJWs want to ruin everything. And well,
NPCs.
Yeah, well, they couldn't ruin Lord of the Rings, you know, 15 years ago when it came out. So now they're trying to do it now.
What do SJWs like? I mean, if they ruin literally everything, what do they enjoy?
Politically correct things. I don't know.
Like what?
That is a good question.
They find problems, and is there anything in life that brings them somewhat happiness that everyone can agree on? Like,
I don't know.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
No, it's racist against black people.
Yeah, probably.
It portrays black people as trains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the different colors.
That's because people are like, oh, the movies, the show is sexist because it doesn't show any female characters.
Well, until like way
it's
later.
It's an inanimate object.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, but I mean, oh my goodness. Like, Lord of the Rings is my favorite movie of all time. And I kind of categorize like all three of the first movies, like, you know, whatever, like as one movie. Because it is one story. And there's no racism. Now, the only racism is that dwarves and elves don't like each other. But that's not a depiction of reality. It's like...
But that isn't even racism. That's like speciesism, because they're technically different species.
And orcs are even way more not even human. They're literally twisted elves by dark magic. And they're meant to be beasts that kill people. And yet,
yeah, like they're genetically designed to be evil. That's the whole point of the. That's why Sauron wants them.
And
clouds are racist because they are white.
But you have SJW saying that it's racist to depict orcs, like, as the way they are because it's supposed to be an allegory for black people. How does that make?
So what are they saying? Should we portray orcs driving around in Subarus with blonde hair, you know, drinking Starbucks? Is that how they want orcs to be portrayed?
I don't know. I'm just more concerned that these people who are saying, oh, Lord of the Rings is racist, they think that these beastly, monstrous, killer orcs are supposed to be black people.
Oh, there's one.
That's crazy.
Well, there's
Why
one
would
meme.
They think that?
There's one meme that can go with those SJWs. It's that one meme. It's the NPC character. It says emitting virtue signal.
Oh, goodness. The NPC meme is golden.
That it's got the antennas on each side of the head. It says emitting virtue signal.
I saw an NPC meme where it shows one picture and the caption says socialism. And it shows like one of those stock photos of an animated person stepping onto a rake, and then the pole from the rake, you know, swings up and smacks him in the face. And then the picture below it said democratic socialism, and it's an NPC riding a rake down a pole like a skateboard and then hitting the ground, and it hits it in the face anyways.
Oh my god, that's great. That's why memes will never die. Like, they will always be able to... have some social commentary on what's going on in the world, and they're so simple and great. Even things like this, like I said, the response to this whole Lord of the Rings is racist nonsense. You guys have heard of the invading caravan on the southern border. Well, people have been making memes about the orcs, saying that the orcs just want to come to Gondor for a better life. Oh my god, it's just amazing.
It's like, you see this commercial, they're going to do a brand new Lord of the Rings, it's just a pic thing from the border a couple days ago. When they're all trying to storm the border and get over at once.
Yeah, they're trying to Yeah, they're trying to climb the wall and stuff, get in illegally, which is the reason why Donald Trump is building a second wall on the other side of the river. So there's like one wall, a river, and there's the other wall behind it. There's like a wall with a, two walls with a river in between. That's what I'm thinking that he's trying to build.
Right. It's crazy.
Well, there's that on the border, and of course, there's also the Space Force.
The Space Force.
Yes.
Yeah, where they just replaced the orcs with the Space Force. The rings.
MS-13 trying to get in America in that caravan.
Yeah, and from space. Oh, and here's another thing. I just wanted to make MS-13 a quick comparison. Gangs. I wanted to make a quick comparison to Star Wars. Now, obviously, the evil empire is supposed to represent like Nazis and fascism and whatnot. You know, the stormtroopers are literally the name of a Nazi army division.
Right, which stormtroopers are actually from World War One, but yeah.
Well, they still use them in World War One and World
War II. Well, they were invented in World War One, and then they were used in World War Two as well.
Yeah, right. But Lord of the Rings is not supposed to be an allegory for like our world. You know, it's a fantasy
it's
world.
Not it's not at all. In fact, the Lord of the Rings is it's an allegory for Catholic theology. Tolkien was a very devout Catholic and wrote theology into his book. Like, Gandalf is based off of the priest who raised him as a kid after his parents died.
Absolutely.
Like, and Sauron is supposed to be, like, the governing body of the church, but, like, he turns bad, kind of like the church did in the Middle Ages. Like, it's, like, that is what it's an allegory for.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with race or politics. It's really about the human nature and spirit.
Yeah.
About coming together.
The SJW left keeps ruining their chances of winning a future elections.
Yeah, I mean, unless they get somebody like so impossibly cool to run against Trump, like if Morgan Freeman ran against Trump, Morgan Freeman would win.
Morgan Freeman.
Like Samuel L. Jackson.
I guess, but like, would they actually run against? Like, come on, Trump is not going to lose in 2020. Like,
it really depends. I mean, what Trump needs to do to seal his guarantee for the election, and if he did this, it'd be amazing, is if he legalized recreational pot in all 50 states. If he did that, he would no doubt win the election. No question. He would have the entire youth on his side. He would have, you know, most of the liberals on his side. Like, they'd immediately all be on his side. He would be undefeatable.
Yeah.
He'd have the farming community on his side because it's so good to farm. Like, really, that's what he needs to do. Oh, hey, since we're kind of approaching towards the tail end of the podcast, is there something I could talk about real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so quick heads up, guys. To any of those going to Motor City Fur Convention in Michigan this coming April, Cash and I are going to be there, and we're going to try and get a panel going as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, we would have gone to Midwest Fur Fest, but we didn't want to. So we didn't. We're going to MCFC instead. I have a lot of family in Detroit, so we're going to visit family as well. So that's kind of why we were going to go. But yeah, Cash and I will definitely be there. I'll send you guys pictures of what I look like at the time, you know, here in a few months. And then we'll, if you guys want to, you know, if anybody wants to hang out during MCFC, let me know. I mean, I'm also from that area of Michigan, so I know some good places to eat. Like, we'll have a good time. It'll be cool.
All right. That sounds pretty awesome. The next convention that I will be going to is New Year's Furry Ball. That's in, I believe, Delaware? I always get it confused. I think it's either in Connecticut. No, it's in Delaware.
Do you live in Delaware?
No, I live on Long Island.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you're from Long Island, and I'm in Arkansas. I'm in the South. And then what about you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I live in Texas.
Oh, Texas, where in?
Somewhere around the northeast side, like in Tyler.
Okay. I was in Texarkana a couple of months ago, but I don't go to Texas very often, but that's cool. Can I say that Texas produced the worst fucking tourists on the face of the planet?
Oh,
I'm sorry. That,
why?
Like, as somebody who has worked in the tourism industry, they are the worst, worst fucking tourists ever. And not now, Texan people are nice. They're very sweet people, but just as tourists, they drive too slow. They drive sporadically. They're very loud. They're rude. If you do just one thing wrong, they'll get pissed off at you. Like, and the only reason that we even tolerate them is because they bring in so much money. But Texan people are nice. But like when they're tourists, like in a city like Hot Springs or Little Rock or Fayetteville, they're just the shittiest people to be around.
I had to deal with that when I went all the way down to San Antonio. I had to drive miles all the way down to San Antonio, get a hotel room.
Wow. Well, I was not aware of that. I guess, like, there's not really any specific, like, monuments or anything in Texas, really, that would, like, be a tourist trap and stuff to, like, attract people. But then
there's a lot of monuments, but there's a lot of them that don't attract people. They're considered national landmarks, like a historical marker stuff.
But like, oh my God, I think the reason I have such a negative disposition towards Texan tourists are because they're not even that bad as people. It's kind of over-exaggerating. They're just the worst drivers. They're the worst drivers on the road because in Texas, Texans drive really fast and they're smart drivers. You know, they don't do stuff that'll put you in danger. But like when they're in Arkansas and they drive, they're slow. They like will stop randomly and go to turn and then change their mind and drive back. Like, the speed limit will be 35, and they'll be going 10. And I was like, what are you doing?
Or the speed limit would be a 70, and they'll be going 60 miles per hour.
Oof. All right, guys. We are approaching the very end. I just wanted to get some last-minute comments. If anyone has anything to say in the live stream, please let us know.
Who wants to become a dragon? All you have to do is just get CRISPR. You can do it.
Yeah, right.
Kenny says Texas is worse than Massles.
Oh, I
don't know if he has visited Texas yet, but I've been here in Texas since I was born. I had no problems with it, except the slow drivers.
No, again, Texas is fine. I like the food, the beer, the people are nice. Like, I like Texas. I just don't like the tourists that come into Arkansas. They're just a pain in the ass. Like, a very big pain in the ass.
Oh, okay. Any other, anything else?
I, like, you would be cool as if you could use CRISPR. You don't even need to be, like, full-on anthro. You could use CRISPR just to get, like, cat ears and tail. You could be, like, a Neko or something.
I mean, that would be possible.
Okay, someone said, Emerson Cawley said, the only time television isn't racist is when it's off. You only have a black screen.
Wait a minute, a black screen? That's racist.
That's very racist. He should be ashamed. Let's make sure that he gets fired at his job.
Oh my God.
Any other questions?
No? Yes?
Black Limeade said, notice me.
You're noticed.
Hello. You are noticed. All right, guys. I think we're going to end it here. This has been an awesome episode.
I can't even
episode.
Turn off the stream.
What?
Nothing.
Wow. The stream has not been turned off just yet. I have already informed our great lord and savior, Foxer Senpai, about this. I said to stay
he ain't
tuned.
No senpai. He is the gatekeeper to the organization because I have no idea. I'm just kind of making things up as I talk.
Everything is free.
Right.
Around
okay,
him.
So guys, I hope everyone has an awesome night. this is us signing off.
Okay.
If you guys like to say a last word, I shall bid thee farewell.
Like, share, and subscribe, guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I should have said that. Yeah, do that.